Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, please, tonight, in Leviticus, the 25th chapter. And I thought this would be apropos. I like it. Apropos for this occasion tonight. The year of the Jubilee. The 50 years. Amen. Hallelujah. 50 years. Appreciate Brother Don and Sister Elsie coming to the airport. Who's going to take me to the airport tomorrow? How am I going to get to the airport? I got the van. Somebody's going to have to come get the van. I know how I'm going to get there, but I don't know how you're going to get the van back. That's your problem. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. That's the way I tell them up at my church. We'll have a visiting minister, and I said, this is the tithes and offering. We're going to take our speaker an offering after he gets through preaching. If he does good, we'll pay him good. Doesn't do good, we won't pay him so good. So I come in a limousine, might go out in a wheelbarrow, might have to hitchhike. I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. Amen. Yeah, I asked for the limousine, didn't I? Amen. I like that. I preach on witnessing sometime, and I tell the story. Oh, that's good. Thank God for boys. I'm telling you, it's got limousine. That was good. I didn't know whether to tip him or not. I just had four $20 bills, and I knew I wasn't going to give him 20, even if you were supposed to tip him. I've had a five spot. I might have tipped him a five spot. But I think them 20s are hard to get a hold of. Oh. See, I'm not used to that culture, Brother Graham. I'm not used to that upper echelon, top drawer stuff like that. Amen. Hallelujah. It was sweet. It was so, I couldn't believe it. I told Sister Gibson, we didn't even bring our camera. I said, I wish I had my camera. My little church wouldn't believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you've honored us by inviting us to be here. And I know, it seems like I'm getting slower. Getting slower, getting hard of hearing, too. Hey. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord? Well, I'm just here to have a good time, really, and I'm going to try to encourage you a little bit tonight. Just stay the way you are. Amen. I don't see anything you're doing wrong. Brother Spence, oh boy, I'm telling you, grease my wheels. That face is shining like an angel. And you come a-dancing and a-jigging down the aisle. I turned to Brother Granberry. I said, do you think he's glad to be here? Amen. I had a preacher friend up in Oklahoma by the name of Tucker, pastored at Duncan, Oklahoma, and his wife was Brother Watkins' daughter, the district secretary of Oklahoma, and it was his daughter, and I'd known her like Darwin said Sister Gates had known him from way back down there. And so they were pastoring in Duncan, Oklahoma, and she said she'd gone through, I think it was three major surgeries, one right after the other. Boy, she couldn't get over one, so he'd go back for another one. And she was out of church for something like a couple of months, you know, and her husband was there, you know, going on by himself, and the church was working and going on. And said, finally, she said, Brother Reed, she said, I got to come back to church and be there with my husband and the people. And she said, and she wasn't an emotional woman either, but she said, I tell you, said, I shouted every service for about 6 weeks. Just so glad to be there. Just glad to be back. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe we ought to, some of us have about 3 major surgeries. Amen. And we'd appreciate a place like this. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Also find out I can't see neither. Amen. You got the big bread, you Cheeto. Oh, it's all right. I just eat. It's the tears in my eyes. If I can get tears out, I got 3 levels here. One of them bound to fit this thing. The 8th verse of Leviticus 25, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years in the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. That sounds right, doesn't it? Says what the multiplication table says, 7 times 7, 49. I don't know now in this new math they've got if 7 times 7 is 49 according to them or not. But I do know that 7 times 7 is 49 because that's what the Bible says. And it's forever settled in heaven. And when you get to heaven, 7 times 7 is still going to be 49. You might not be able to depend on the multiplication table, but you can depend on this. It's going to be 49. Hallelujah. Thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of the atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your year. And you shall hallow the 50th year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the 50th year, folks. We're supposed to hallow the 50th year. If you've ever lived for God, now's the time to live for God. Hallelujah. If you've ever pure in your heart, now's the time to be pure. Hallow the 50th year. Glory to God. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land, all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. You shall return every man unto his possession. You shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. And you shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it. Nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. Hallelujah. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat of the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. I used to have an old Bible that had a note over in the concordance part of it, I guess, or in the little... Yeah, margin. That's the word I was looking for. And a little star by the word jubilee. And it said in the margin, jubilee, a time of shouting. So, hallelujah. That's what the word jubilee means. A time of shouting. Glory to God. Just as natural for God's people to shout as it is for water to run downhill. God's people are a happy people. That's what the Queen of Sheba said. She saw 2 things. When she saw the setting of Solomon's table and the happiness of the people that stood around him. She said, they haven't told me half of it. This is unreal. Couldn't believe it. Amen. Oh, that was just the gate said. Wow, she did. She forgot to tell us how many years ago that was. I guess she forgot. Amen. Amen. She might be so old she forgot. Amen. Or she might have been old enough that she didn't want us to know what year it was. But it was a while back. Amen. We'll put it that way. And she said, I found the love. The love of God. And I've come to equate it with the power of God, the anointing of God, the spirit of God, the love of God. It's all that you can't separate it. Amen. But you, when you walk into here, friend, I'll tell you, you can feel something make you want to come back. Glory to God. You'll feel like here's somebody that cares about me. You'll see something you like. You'll hear something you Like to hear, hallelujah. Glory to God. You get in with God's bunch. God's people have always been builders. I don't care wherever you find God's people, they're building. Amen. Amen. God's people have always been singers. God's people sing. Amen. They sing at funerals. Amen. Oh, they sing in the darkness. They sing when they're sick. Amen. They just sing. God's people sing. Amen. God's people are prayers. God's people will always pray. Always been prayers. Amen. God's people have always been wholeness people. Amen. Separated from the world. Amen. Because a praying man will quit sinning, a sinning man will quit praying. That's good preaching. You wonder what happened to some of the giants? They quit praying. That's exactly what happened. Amen. You quit praying, you'll lose it. Amen. You quit seeking God's face, you'll lose it. Hallelujah. The God's people have always been prayers. They've always been singers. They've always been shouters. Hallelujah. Even in the Old Testament. Amen. They shouted every 50th year. Some folks say, well, I never shouted. Well, you should. Amen. I never got happy enough to shout. You ought to. Amen. And I know it's not safe to base a doctrine on one scripture, but I've got this doctrine that I believe and I propagate it on this one scripture. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, they shouted every 50th year or about once in a lifetime. And I have this doctrine that I think everybody ought to shout at least once sometime in their lifetime. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I believe I'm scriptural. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You start shouting, amen, and dancing. Once you get started, it's hard to stop. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll want to do it again. It's like getting an anointing when you're preaching. Amen. Get out there in the glory. Amen. And that bug bites you. Amen. You'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. God's people. I was hoping Brother Olin Gower would be here tonight. Amen. We used to have an old shouter in Pentecostal circles called Dad Smith. Amen. He loved to shout and dance. Amen. He just loved to shout and dance. Shout and dance. Smith preached. He preached about 30 minutes. Inez was with him. Said, how long have you been preaching, honey? She said, about 30 minutes, Papa. He said, well, go to the piano. Give me a little music. He started a little soft shoe dance. Amen, Dan. Just begin to dance. Dance back and forth. Dance down the aisle. Just dancing back and forth. Finally got right in front of Brother Gower, pointed his finger at him, and he said, you could do this if you weren't so stiff-necked. Brother Carr said to himself, I wouldn't be like you, you old Pentecostal idiot, for all the money in the world. And I said, I'm going to tell you something else. He's talking to himself. He said, I ain't never coming back this holy roller mess again. And he said, I didn't until the next night. See, there's something about this church, man. You get it full of the Holy Ghost, they cannot resist it. They cannot resist you. You get full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, get so full that your eyes glass over. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't know whether you're here or there. Right? Apostle Paul got that way. He got beside himself. He said, when we're beside ourselves, that's to the Lord. Hallelujah. And so when I get sober, said, that's for your sake. Now, if I had my way, said I'd just be out there on the rainbow of glory, full of God and full of the Holy Ghost, my eyes glassed over. Amen. And you can put the fear of God in people, your eyes get glassed over. They don't know which way you're going to jump. Amen. And Paul said, when I'm beside myself, Oh, I don't believe in getting beside you. He did. Oh, you mean you don't know what you're doing? Amen. He said beside himself. You mean when you come to? Yeah, he said, when I got beside myself. He said, that's to the Lord. That's what I did that for. To the Lord. And said, if I'm sober, that's for your sake. So I just sobered up so I'd come down here and teach you a little bit. Amen. They can't resist you. Amen. That's why when we had the fans and up and the windows open, you know. Yeah, you remember that? How many years ago was it? 36 years ago. She was just 3 years old. Amen. 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 But I'll tell you something. The Holy Ghost would take that Pentecostal singing out through those windows, and it was the best advertising we had. Now, I don't get me wrong, I love this wall-to-wall carpet and the air conditioning. I may be retarded, but I'm not stupid. Amen. Amen. I know that we've got it better, but I feel like we lost a little advertising, a quality about us when we shut the windows and the doors and turned on the air conditioning. Amen. See? Because now people, they might not like our holiness preaching or our women with the buns on their head or our cotton stockings. Right? Amen. But there's one thing they could not resist, and that was our singing. Oh, they love to hear us sing. Love to hear us get happy. They'd sit out on their porches. They'd gather outside the window of the church and look in and watch us shout and hear us sing and watch us rejoice. Always acted like that. God's people did. Yeah. Amen. We get full of God again, we act the same way. And I don't care where you are. You know, I went up to Ainsworth, Nebraska, preach a camp meeting. One time I was acting just like I'd act here. And they had the services out under a tent in a grove out there. And had tent poles up. I'd go up, climb on them tent poles, swing around it, you know, turn handsprings and preach. You know, and try to get something going. Well, at about the fourth night, one, you know, really. Worst thing can happen to you is they not know you're there, you know. You've been in town for 2 weeks, nobody knows you're there. Makes you want to go down one of them tall buildings downtown and jump off the top. At least you get your name in the paper. So one of the pastors come around and said, Brother Gibson, I'm going to tell you something. Said these slow northern sand hill people up here in Nebraska, said they're not like you South Texans, you Okies, and you Alabamans. Said we're reserved and we're quiet up here. I said, really? You know, and I kind of act like that, and I'm an Okie, you know, and they just come up and a kind of blank expression. You know, they look in my eyes and see there ain't nobody driving. And they say we're going to put the shuck on old Okie. You know, I'm not very smart, but I've been around this pond for 40 years. Amen. 27th of July will be 40 years this year that I started around this pond. Amen. So I've been around long enough to know a spiritual deadness whenever I see it. Amen. Amen. It don't take much discernment to know it. Amen. Amen. So they said, northern people are unemotional. I said, really? That's right, Brother Reed. I said, well, that was funny. I saw about 50,000 of them crowd into the Green Bay Stadium, you know, on a January the 1st, you know, 30 below zero. Ground froze down 3 feet. Amen. Every time the Packers moved the ball that far, that crowd would just explode. So they say, northern people are not emotional. I say, yeah. I said, steal $100 from them and see how emotional they get. Amen. So I just act like I didn't know nobody. You know, you can't say nothing to them because then you lose your sweetness too. You get upset with them because they won't act like you want them to act, and then you get to where you can't act like you ought to act because you're upset with them. So you got to watch. Right. Yeah, that's true. That's good preaching. Didn't get that out of no book neither. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we closed on the 4th of July, which was a Saturday night. We really didn't see the break that we wanted to see. So the pastor at First Assembly in Ainsworth said, I'm going over and try out for another church tomorrow. And he said, would you take charge of my services? I said, yeah, because it was 200 miles anywhere out there, and you know, didn't have any services. And like Brother Granberry said, didn't have nothing else to do, so I come to Greensboro. And so that morning we just had kind of a little sweet service, you know. But that Sunday night, we gathered into that sanctuary. And we started singing, Reach Out and Touch the Lord. I just had the people stand, and we started, Reach Out and Touch the Lord as He passes by. And all at once, the Holy Ghost swept through that place like a mighty river. And those old slow sandhill people's lightning rods got up just like y'all's do in South Texas. And they lifted their faces towards heaven. Their faces turned wrong side out. Amen. And tears began to stream down their face just like they do in South Texas. They began to run and rejoice and shout just like you do in South Texas. For about an hour and a half, for 2 hours, we worshiped, we praised the Lord, we prayed, and we rejoiced. I never did get to preach that night. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was in the World Pentecostal Conference when the Assembly of God superintendent of the Japanese Assemblies of God, they let him testify one night. Oh, he said, over in Japan, said we do just like you do when you get the Holy Ghost. We go, wah, wah, wah. I said, my kind of cow. Amen. We got a new beer joint opened up out in Odessa the other day. It said Sam's Place, a beer joint. What's sitting on it? I like that. I'm going to then talk to old Sam one of these days. I can communicate with him. Yeah, he said, Sam's Place. It's a beer joint. I mean, I'm going to say, hello, Sam. Glory to God, I'm a Jesus person. Amen. I'm a holy roller, Sam. Amen. You run a beer joint? I'm a holy roller. That's terminology we understand. Amen. I talk in tongues. Amen. Don't have to say I got the glossolalia. What would Sam know about the glossolalia? He got a beer joint. Amen. It's the same, friend. Don't let the devil try to put the shuck on you. You get full of God, you act just like everybody else does, and they get full. You'll want to run, you'll want to shout, you'll want to weep, you'll want to rejoice. Don't let them kid you. Don't let them talk you out of it, church. I'm down there, they're going to try it. They're going to try it. Amen. That's something you can't work up. You don't have to. You can't work it up, but you just wait on God. Amen. And you be here and you be faithful. Amen. And brother, it'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen. Some people got, let me tell you this, and this is one of the saddest things. Some people have got, you know, and I didn't realize this, and I don't want to get back on the heavy stuff like I was last night, but I've been thinking about it today, you know. And I was in Bible school when J.E. Styles come through. First preacher a long time ago that started preaching instant Holy Ghost. No need in caring for the Holy Ghost anymore. And really, technically, you know, scripturally, I remember Brother J.O. Savelle and E.B. Crump. They had the district offices there in the Bible college. Man, it was an education just having those fellows there. And so they cornered old J.E. Styles over there in one of those classrooms, and some of us young preachers got to sit there and listen to that debate. And Brother Saville and Brother Crump, they both tried to reason with him about the tarrying service, about waiting upon God to receive the Holy Ghost. And he said there is no scriptural foundation for tarrying for the Holy Ghost after the day of Pentecost. And I thought, well, really, he had it on the brethren. That as far as I know of, I don't know of any scripture. All I know is by experience. Amen. Now you teach people they don't have to tarry, and they don't have to wait on God, and they don't have to pray around the altar, and to tell them it's a sin to come back and pray about something the second time, you have done them a gross injustice, Rip. Hallelujah. So Brother Crump about 3 days later, he finally thought of an answer. And I remember he got to the pulpit in chapel one morning. He said, glory to God! Said Paul had to wait 3 days after he got saved to get the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't know why I did. And said, you don't either. But I know when you do away with the tarrying service. Folks, it's like just that you vary off just a little bit. And those brethren could see that he was off base just a little bit, trying to tell people they didn't have to tarry anymore or wait on God. Amen. Friend, this is something that is not instant. You cannot have it instant. I've seen people have. I had this old boy in my church got saved, had somebody come in and told him. He said, oh, you need the Holy Ghost. Said, say what I say. And she spoke in tongues and had him say the same thing she did. Amen. He told me the other day. I don't appreciate that. Amen. I do not appreciate that. Amen. Let him get in the altar like I did. I saw it Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, finally got the Holy Ghost after seeking for a couple hours every night. Got something that 40 years later is still good. And you get it by waiting. You get it by waiting. You get it by waiting. You know how preachers get messages from God? You know what a message from God is. You know the difference between the Logos and the Rhema? Logos is the written word. Amen. Rhema is a word of God that becomes alive, becomes a word that God speaks. And a preacher that's got a message has got a Rhema. He's got a word revealed from God. Makes it alive. And you know how the Logos becomes Rhema? By waiting, waiting, and waiting. Like a cow eating green grass, giving white milk and churning yellow butter. It takes a while for that green grass to turn into white milk. And it's the same way it is with waiting on God, folks. I'm telling you. Amen. And so we got off now to where you go to some people's services and you'll never have an altar service. I've been there. They'll get up and say, I'll never be sick again. I confess that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ and I'll never have no more problems. As long as I live, amen. I will walk on the water, I'll conquer the world. And never give people a chance to pray. Oh, well. But I'm telling you, see, folks, that's where you get off. I'm telling you, stay with what you got. Stay with what you got. Stay with what you got. This is the real. This is real. You don't have to put it on. One of the saddest things I've ever seen. One of my buddies up in Oklahoma, really, we had services like we have around here, you know. I mean, 3 years in a row, three-week meetings. 3 years in a row. And he got to wanting it so bad that he said, folks, we'll just have it anyway. So we'll get out and we'll dance in the aisle. And we'll choreograph it. And we'll orchestrate it. And the district come in and had to handle him. I mean, he was a prince, a man of God. I was with him for years in revival. I never heard one off-color thing ever fall from W.W. Blakely's lips. Not one. His home was a sanctuary. And he started getting off just a little bit. I don't know why I'm on this. Lord, I wish I could get off. Folks, I'm telling you, we're living in days when you think, well, it ain't going to hurt. And the first thing you know, you're way off here on the right side or left side. Don't make no difference. There's a ditch on either side. Right field or left field.
So stay with what you got. God's people have always been shouters. They've always acted like this. They've always waited on God till the power fell. They didn't have to work it up. It was there. It flowed like a river. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You get off trying to work it up, you're going to get in trouble. You'll get a counterfeit. Willie Blakely wound up in a gay bar in Oklahoma City. Amen. With a boyfriend for a lover. Got jealous of him because he didn't want him to see any other men. Had been an ordained Assembly of God preacher for 30 years. Amen. Amen. They found Willie's bullet-riddled body in a ditch. Found his car 3 days later. Finally traced it back. Found where it'd been. Found the man that shot him. Amen. And I thought to myself, God, God, where did I fail? My Willie. Oh, I wish I could tell you it wasn't going to happen to you. Amen. It won't if you'll stay in this altar. It won't if you'll stick to the old path. Oh, don't forsake the altars of God. I say it so much, I know it sounds like a stupid broken record to my people. But I say, remember three things. Be here every time the door is open. Pay your tithes. Pray around the altar. Amen. That's all I know to do. That won't work. I don't know anything else. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you thought I forgot about Brother Gower, didn't you? We go back and pick up that story. Brother Gower said, I'm not coming back this holy roller mess. And he said, I didn't till the next night. He said, sit there and listen to that old man preach. He said to Inez, his daughter, said, how long have I been preaching, baby? She said, about 30 minutes, Papa. I said, well, go give me some music. She started playing. He started dancing again. Brother Gower sat back there critical. Well, I guess we're going to have a rerun of what we had last night. He said that old man began to shout. He began to dance. He said, all at once, he said, I saw a big old rough oil field hand over in this part of church. Get up, head for that altar. And said, about that time, a man and his wife back over here, they got up and beat it to that altar. Said, about that time, somebody back here, he said, I sat right there and watched that old man shout about 10 people into that altar that night. And he said, when it all wound up, he said, I was right in there with him in the altar. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's people have always been like that. You get full of God, that's the way you'll be. Amen. If you know, I was telling this to Willie Blakely. Sitting in Holiday Inn in Ardmore, Oklahoma. And we was talking about things being done decently and in order, and I said, well, it all depends on whose order you want. You want man's order, you know, forget it. If you want God's order, well, you'll stay in the upper room about 10 days, come staggering out of the upper room about 9 o'clock one morning, talking in tongues, falling over one another. He said, yeah, he said, but you know our flesh doesn't want to be like that, Mother Reed. I said, I know it. I know our flesh, your flesh didn't want to be like that. But if you listen to the flesh, you'll die. See, to be carnally minded is death. If you're going to let the flesh dictate what takes place in this church, there'll never be another message in tongues. Because the Spirit hates the flesh. And the flesh hates the Spirit. And these are contrary one to another. Amen. You don't have to go looking for the Antichrist. He's right here between your elbows. You don't have to go looking for Babylon or the beast. He's right here. Right? This flesh trying to put the mark of the beast on your spirit every day you live. And the Spirit of God trying to kill the flesh in your life every day. I'd fast till I couldn't hardly get around. Amen. And go to the table to eat and feel like I'd sinned against the Holy Ghost. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, you don't even want me to eat. Amen. And realized the Spirit hates the flesh. He couldn't care less if he did die. Wished he would. You ain't going to get no sympathy from the Holy Ghost when it comes to the flesh. Amen. If you're having trouble with the flesh, just bring him to Samuel like they did Agag. Amen. The Bible said Samuel hewed him to pieces before the Lord. Bring him to your Samuel. Samuel will take care of him for you. Your heavenly Samuel will take care of Agag for you if you get him there. Amen. You take care of him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Old Dad Smith's boy Tot had a church, and he thought how cute it would be to have Dad come and hold him a meeting. Dad come over there. And Tot had an old lady in his church, you know, that wasn't real. You know, she'd shout about $100 worth and live about a quarter's worth. So she got out in the aisle Sunday morning, started shouting. Man, old Dad Smith, he just come right down off the platform, got out there with her. Man, I'm telling you, it was going to town. Monday night, same thing. Tuesday morning, they had a prayer meeting in the church. And Tot thinks, now I have got to tell Dad. So he calls him aside and he said, Dad, you've always shouted. You've always been a shouter. I know that you're, and what you've got is real. But said this old gal, this old lady, you've been shouting with Tot, said she ain't real. And said, my folks say, no, she's not real. And said, if you don't quit shouting every time she shouts, they're going to think you're not real neither. Old Dad Smith put his arm around Tot. And he said, Tot, sweetheart, I knew that old lady wasn't real the first time she come out in between them seats out there on Sunday morning. But said, you know me, Tot, and you know me good enough to know that I was not going to sit there and let a hypocrite outshout me. God's people are like that. God's people got a right to shout. Hallelujah. In the year of the Jubilee. Amen. They shouted. There's a reason why we shout. You think we shout just to hear ourselves? No. Three reasons. There were three people that shouted in the Jubilee. First of all, the slaves were freed. That was one of the characteristics of the year of the Jubilee. The slaves were freed. Amen. They could be sold, you know, because they were so poor. But in the year of the Jubilee, they had to let the slaves go. It was the first bankrupt law that was ever written, and God put it in the Bible, the bankrupt law. Amen. We kind of look down on people that take bankruptcy. Amen. Now, we don't look down on Eastern Airlines or Pennsylvania Railroad or New York Central when they take bankruptcy. Amen. Or Enter First. Amen. Right? No. And they've got a battery of hundreds of lawyers smart enough to tell them how. You know, to avoid. And they'll advise them, say, hey, go into chapter 13, you can operate. All your interest is cut off. But you let little old John Doe that don't hardly know his right hand from his left, you let an individual take bankruptcy, and they think that's bad. Amen. See, this is the bankrupt law written in the Old Testament. Amen. The land couldn't be sold for him. And that every 50th year, the slaves were freed. No need in shackling people with a hopeless debt. Forgive them and put them back into society. Hallelujah. It's a good law. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The slaves were free. Amen. And all they had to do was just be a walking along there, and he knew it was coming time, and he would listen for the sound of that trumpet. That's what brought in the year of the Jubilee, was the trumpet. Oh. Well, I'm a-thinking now. Amen. Don't know whether to go this way or not, but I guess it will. Amen. There's three things it takes to raise the dead. The trump of God, the voice of the archangel, and what else? For the Lord himself shows with a shout. There it is. Yeah. Three things. Three things it takes to raise the dead. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead shall rise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They can't stay hooked up. Amen. They're going to rise. Amen. When that trumpet sounds, glory to God, and they hear the voice and the shout of Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So the slaves went free. You're going to have somebody, a trouble to shout. I asked brother, I said, who is that old man out there in the aisle acting like that? He said, Brother Reed, that's Brother Spence. Said he'd been back, said, for 25 years, but said about 6 years ago. I said, oh, that explains it. That explains it. You think somebody been out of 25 years without a blessing? Glory to God, and finally come back. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to have trouble keeping him in that seat. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to shout. Do you think he's got a right to shout? Nobody would deny his right to shout. Just help yourself, brother. We'll give you the whole church if you want it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Say, yeah. I want it. If it wasn't so high up there, and I'm getting a little bit, you know, used to it, I could jump from here to there. Amen. But now I need a new landing gear. Amen. Man, I wish. Amen. Amen. Get a little higher. I wish I could stay here. I bet by Friday night I'd be going. I believe I'd be going, Brother Spence. I don't believe you can get away with that. Amen. By Friday night, I believe I'd be right out there with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Second thing that happened, the mortgages was burned. You know, they had to return the land to its rightful owner. Amen. The land was the Lord's, and so they couldn't sell the land. It had to be returned to trust. The mortgage was burned. It's a twofold word. The first half of the word meaning death. Mortgage, mort means death. Immortal means not dying. Mortal man just simply means that we're men that die. Mortal means death. Morticians deal with you know what. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And the last part of the word is gauge or grip. So that's what a mortgage is. It's a death grip. That is exactly what it is. You wonder why you're nearly suffocated? Because you ain't got enough sense to quit borrowing money. You don't know how to use a credit card and when not to use it. Three things you got to know about money. You got to know how to make money. You got to know how to save money. You got to know how to spend money. Three things you got to know about money. But I'll tell you how to get out of debt. There's just one way to get out of debt, and it's not hard to keep track of. Just one way. You want to know how to get out of debt? Quit borrowing. If you quit borrowing, you'll be out of debt. Eventually. Don't let them talk you into consolidating, either. Just tell them, we'll pay you when we get to it. And if you get smart, we won't even put your name in the jar for the drawing. Amen. Financial counseling. I also do marriage counseling. They come to me and begin to pour their heart out, and I listen for about 5 minutes, and then I'll just look at them and say, did y'all ever think about just killing yourself? Say, you sure some counselor, Brother Red. You're a big help. Well, that's the way I did him, and it worked with him. He'd come to me when everything was on top of him, this building program, and I don't know what else. Oh, he said, Brother Reed, I want to run. I said, I want to run up there, and I want to run up to my farm. And said, I'm going to get on that little old radio station. And said, I'm going to preach to them people up there, and I'm going to let the rest of this world go by. And I said, you know, that sounds like a good deal to me. I said, Brother Gamby, if I was you, I'd just wave goodbye this green bio mess. I'd get out of here. I'd go up there and get on that farm, get me a couple old Jersey milk cows, and I'd get on that radio, and I'd preach. He said, shut up, idiot. Sounded all right when he said it. When I said it, it didn't sound so good. So the land was returned to its rightful owner. The death grip, the mortgages were burnt. I know. Yeah, I'll tell you. I used to have them set up. I had one due the 5th, the 1st, the 10th, the 15th, the 20th, the 25th. They either had one due, past due, or coming due. Anytime you found me, amen. That was where I was. Always in a financial bind. Amen. Nobody here know I'm out in deep water now. I'm over your head, Daddy. Nobody understand what I'm talking about, do you? So the death grip was released. Mortgages were back. I remember they floated a $4 million bond issue, I believe it was, to build the gospel publishing house. And I believe back in 1953, a general counsel in Milwaukee, Brother Ralph Riggs, Brother Flowers, and I don't know who all was there, but they took a picture of the mortgage burning on the gospel publishing house. They'd floated this bond issue and paid it off a couple of years, I think. Anyhow, they had a picture of these executive brethren with this little tray and this mortgage burning, you know, and that you could see the note burning there, and three or four of the executive brethren there. And they took a picture of it and put it on the front page of the Evangel. And it said, the little caption down there said, it was amidst great rejoicing. That the executive committee, amen, was able to burn the $4 million mortgage on the gospel publishing house. And my mind went back to July 27, 1947. When Brother Reed Gibson knelt, amen, 19-year-old boy right here in the front seat. My old pastor had his arm around me. Glory to God. And the mortgage was burned. Hallelujah. And the death grip was released. It was amidst great rejoicing. God's people rejoiced with me that night. Hallelujah. I'm like Sister Lucy. Amen. If y'all were to tell me you didn't love me, I wouldn't believe you. Hallelujah. God's people loved me, embraced me that night. We shouted glory to God. Hallelujah. It was amidst great rejoicing. Hallelujah. Yeah, you'll shout when that death grip's released. In less time than it would take to tell about it. Oh, glory to God. stories told about old. Am I taking too much time? Okay. I have a poor way of knowing. I look at Sister Gibson and I don't know. Get my signal scrambled sometime, you know, on your satellite dish. You ever get your signal scrambled from heaven? Get you a decoder. Amen. Yeah, get you an unscrambler. Amen. Yeah. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. That's what he said. My sheep know my voice. I said, really, Lord? He said, yeah, that's right. I said, okay. The old country doctor treated everybody, made house calls, delivered babies, set broken arms, legs, died, and they were going through his records. Come across one account there of an old farmer. This doctor treated him for years. His account had got so big, he just couldn't pay any on it. So the old doctor just took his pencil and marked through that account, made a notation down below it, said, just too poor to pay. Saying of God, that not one of us sitting here tonight, but about one time in your life, God looked at your name on the ledger of heaven. Amen. And then with that scarlet pencil and with the blood of Jesus, he took and marked through that account, made the notation, just too poor to pay. Hallelujah. But what we were too poor to do, the Son of God was rich enough to do it. And about 2,000 years ago, he stepped out of heaven with the wherewith to settle all of our accounts with God. Hallelujah. Amen. And what I could not do, what we were too poor to do, the Son of God did for us. Hallelujah. And what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. Right. Did you ever, anybody here ever pay a bill off? Ever get a car paid for? Feels pretty good, doesn't it? We paid our church off here a couple years ago. They borrowed $30,000 on it back in 1971. We paid on it for 15 years. We paid back $58,000 on a $30,000 loan. We paid almost as much interest as the loan was to start out with. We had a mortgage money. Amen. Did anybody here have a mortgage? Got a car payment, got a house payment, got a monkey wards payment, got a Visa payment, got a master charge payment. Now, Brother Granberry, he probably doesn't owe no money. He drives a Lincoln, not now. Amen. He was nice. Clothes. Smells nice. But I imagine if somebody come in here tonight and offered to pay all of his bills off. Say, hey, Brother Granby, what do you owe? What do you owe? Oh, I don't know. $20,000? $50,000? Hey, man, still paying on your house? Still paying on your shoes? And you just think, you paying on that car? Somebody come pay your car off. Somebody, yeah, see, it makes you happy just thinking about it, doesn't it? Somebody going to pay your house off. Ooh, girl. What will we eat? We do eat etouffee, right? Right? Know what I'm talking about? See, if it would make you happy in the natural, to have the mortgage released, how much more in the spiritual realm should we be able to rejoice when there was no way of escape Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm telling you, we don't get happy enough about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand for the blood. Glory to God. Well, I'm continuing to try to commence to begin to close. But there was another thing about the year of the Jubilee. The land and the people had rest. The slaves were freed, the mortgages were burnt, and the land and the people had rest. See, the 49th year was a sabbatical year. 50th year was a Jubilee year. So they had 2 years in a row there. They didn't have to turn a tap, didn't have to plow corn, didn't have to pick the berries, didn't have to do nothing. Couldn't eat of the vine that was undressed in the field. That was for the strangers and the poor. They could go out there and get all they wanted, but the fellow that owned the field could. Amen. And so the 2 years there, they did not do a thing, and the land rested. The land and the people had rest. Now this is fulfilled in the born-again experience. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. It's fulfilled in a greater measure in the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Isaiah said, with stammering lips and other tongue will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord, and this is the rest. Wherewith it shall cause the weary to rest. Paul picked it up, quoted it again over in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, speaking about this very thing, Holy Ghost. Am my eyes glassed over yet? I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it'll be fulfilled in a greater way at the rapture of the church. I like the songs of that old colored spiritual. Amen. Nobody could put it that way but a colored person. They said, "Ere the wicked will cease a troubling, and the weary will be at rest, and every day will be Sunday by and by." Amen. And every day will be Sunday by and by. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to get to rest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But until that time, amen, there's rest for the weary. Paul said there remains a rest for the people of God. I discovered something, saints. Come, musicians, will you please? You get weary. You get burned out. You get like burned over a field. You ever get to thinking you needed a new wife? Oh, I need a new wife.